If you will, remain standing, turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I don't have a lengthy message tonight. I got a thought on my heart. Five or six points in the thought, but I don't think I'll be as long as I was this morning. But I'll tell you, I'm just going to say it again. I thank God for the message the Lord gave me this morning. It helped me. And I believe there's help for people that want help. Matter of fact, I believe there's help for people that want somebody else to have help. Right? I do, you know, I can't explain it all, but I just look through those gospels and see the times that Jesus healed somebody, not because of their faith, but because of the faith of the one asking. He brought life from death for people that asked. The dead person didn't ask. Somebody else asked for them. And Jesus raised their dead. Now, if he can do that physically, I believe he can do that spiritually. Again, I'm not talking about him saving people against their will, but I do believe there is something about God making us willing in the day of his power. There's something there about God actually orchestrating things. You know, he can put you on the flat of your back where all you can do is look up. And he can so focus your mind. By the way, he can allow your mind to go so out of the mind that you can't know God. Or he can so focus your mind that you can't get away from God, that you hear his voice. Amen. I'm glad he'll track you down. I believe that. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Anyway, and so I believe we need to get back to praying. I believe we need to get back to believing in prayer and believing in our God. Amen. Amen. Believing in Jesus. Jesus has the answer to this generation. Amen. Amen. He does. He has the answer. And I believe that. That's not going to stop the fact that the Antichrist is going to rise up. Not going to stop the fact that the end's coming. And I don't know how soon, but I don't see how it could. Matter of fact, I don't see how it's waited this far. This long. I don't know how it's lasted this long. But anyway, pray for God to help us. Amen. Pray for God to help us. I'll just say this. I'm thinking about the political realm. Brother Randy Sutherland preached last night. Y'all all know Brother Sutherland, I guess. He took Brother Sammy Allen's place and pastoring there at the Concord Baptist Church and running Faith Baptist Camp. I said last night, it was Friday night, he preached, and he was talking about voting, and he said, I'm not sure that how much we're going to change things, but he said, I'm just going to say this. He said, vote for whoever you want to, but he said, I don't want to put up with this for four more years. And he went, I don't want to put up with that for four more years. That's what he said. And you can take that for whatever it's worth. Amen. Amen. Vote for the shuffler of your choice. Amen. But still, we need some help. And politically, I don't know if we're going to fix it. But our answer, our hope is in the spiritual realm. And I believe he said this. Somebody said it, and it's right. God, all through history, God has moved on lost men's heart and caused them to do things that changed history. Nebuchadnezzar was a lost man. God got a hold of his heart. Amen. He mentioned about Nebuzaradan. I can't even remember that name hardly. That brought Jeremiah up out of that pit. He's a lost man, a heathen man, worshiping false gods. But God had him do something good. He could do that. He can still move on those folks up there. Amen. Amen. One fellow said years ago, they were talking about the heart of the king is in his hand. He said, yeah, but the problem is a lot of them politicians don't even have a heart. Amen. It's about the truth. All right. I've been preaching Proverbs so long. Anything that starts with a P looks like Proverbs to me now. Philippians chapter number 3. Start with verse number 8. Read down through verse number 14. If you will, read it responsibly with us. All right. The Bible says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's all read verse 14 together. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer again, please, brother? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, yes. Help us, Lord, yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Herford. You may be seated. Amen. Sorry about that. I knew I needed to blow my nose. Wanted to do it while I had the microphone on mute. All right. This book of Philippians is a great book. We went through it verse by verse, I don't know, a few years ago. And I enjoy any time the Lord allows me to preach from the book of Philippians. It's a book of rejoicing. A book of rejoicing. I'm talking about the election coming up, talking about things in the future. I'm going to preach about the future. This is my thought tonight. How to face the future with confidence. How to face the future with confidence. And I'm going to stay right in this text. I've got some other verses that I'll read, may not have you turn to. I'll see as I get there. But dealing with this thing about the future. The future can be scary. It's unknown. It's inevitable. And it can be scary when you don't know what's going to happen. But there's some things I believe that will help us face the unknown and that can help us in these difficulties, and those are found here in the scripture, that we can face it with confidence. Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, I talk about his rejoicing. But Paul wasn't laid back on some beach somewhere enjoying the sunshine. He was in a prison cell facing the unknown. And yet he was facing the unknown with confidence. Amen. And so I'd like to look at our text if I can and pull out some things that I believe will be helpful to us if we'll apply them in our life. And I hope that we can do that. Let me say, just by way of introduction, obviously the first step would be to make Christ Jesus your Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I'll say that again. Make him Lord and Savior. Don't just come to him to rescue you from hell. Allow him to take control of your life. Right. Let me ask you a question. Why should he save you for eternity if he can't guide you in life? If you're going to live your whole life, you just made up your mind, I'm going to live my life for sin. I'm going to live my life for pleasure. I'm going to live my life for myself. Then why should he bother saving you for eternity? I mean, if you want control now, just keep control when you die. Right? But the point is, we recognize, listen, most all of us came to a point where we recognize I've made a mess of my life. I was doing it my way, and look what a mess I made out of it. I'm glad the Holy Ghost revealed that to us, amen, and showed us the Lord Jesus, amen. And so make the Lord Jesus, or Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, Lord of your life. I believe that's right. Don't just take him as last. Don't just give him your leftovers. Give him your life and allow him to be Lord of your life. Don't just serve him on Sunday. A lot of people, they go to church on Sunday and then they don't even think of the Lord the rest of the week. Very little thought about him. He's ignored the rest of the week. Amen. Don't give Jesus just the last of your life. Give him your whole life. I do believe that if Jesus is your Lord, you know the future's in his hands, then he's going to work all things together for your good and his glory. Now, if you don't give him your life, if you don't make him Lord of your life, the future's still in his hands. But he's not obligated to work it all for your good, although it'll still work for his glory. Amen. So what you need to do is you need to repent of your sin, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, bow to him, and give him your life. Amen. So that'd be the first step. People that live with Christ or the Lord as Lord of their life have more confidence about the future. They have more confidence about the present, I believe. Right? Those that don't make Christ Lord, those that don't see him as Lord of their life, don't have that confidence. Those that live without Christ as their Lord live on a lower plane. But those that live with Christ as their Lord can reach a higher ground, like we sang that song. A higher plane. Amen. And live life on that higher. That ought to be our goal, by the way. That's Paul's talking here. This language is coached in almost like a sporting coach mentality. This language is dealing with a goal in mind and aiming for that goal. Matter of fact, pressing towards that goal is what he's dealing with. Amen. So having said that, let me give you these 6 points, and they'll all start with an R. So number one, first of all, I believe we can have confidence in the future. We can face the future with confidence. Number one, by reviewing the past. He starts off in verse number 8, I believe, with that particular theme. Finally, brethren. No, I'm in chapter 4, verse chapter 3. All right. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Now, hang on a minute. You know English enough to know present tense from past tense. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count. That's present tense right now. All things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered, that's past tense, the loss of all things, and do, that's present tense, count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, he goes on talking about the future, that I may be found in him. So here we got past, present, and future in these two verses particularly, but verse number 8 deals with the present and with the past. And so he's talking about, I do count now, but he's also counted, I have suffered. He's talking about those things, looking back at the past. Here's what it looks like Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I gave up a lot when I got saved. But he said, but I got a good deal in this. He said, when I look back on what I lost, I still say I got a good deal. He said, matter of fact, I count it all but dung. You know what dung is, don't you? That's what's down at the bottom of an outhouse hole. Right. It's that stinking stuff. You know what he's saying? He said, when I look back on my past, it makes me more confident about my present. And it makes me more confident about the future. But I realized I got a good deal when I found the Lord. Amen. Amen. Paul had been a religious Jew. Paul had been a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had to turn his back on all that. He had to give up all that in order to become a Christian. Paul had the accolades of his nation. The rulers of the Jews all held him as some great man. He had to give up all that. He had to turn his back on all that in order to become a Christian. But Paul looks back on that and he saw that everything he gave up was worthless. Actually, anyway, amen. Everything he gave up was actually worthless. sometimes people talk about, you hear people give a testimony almost as if they, you know, they really sacrificed to get saved. Well, I gave up a lot. I could have been a musician down in Nashville. You know how many, there's people with signs out on the street, will play a song for money. I mean, not really, but they're out there begging for money. They're musicians and they're in Nashville. That don't mean they're famous. And some of them's famous, that don't even mean they're good. Amen. Right. Some people, they act like, you know, I could have been a star football player, but I gave all that up to get Christ. Can I tell you, everything we gave up to become a Christian was dung anyway, was stinking, was worthless. All it was worth doing was flushing it and forgetting it. Amen. Jesus gave us a bargain when he saved our soul from hell. Paul looked back and reviewed his past. He said, I got a good deal in this thing. He saw that everything he gave up was actually worthless anyhow. And everything he gained was priceless and of great value. Amen. I believe that if we'll look back into our past, we'll see how that God has richly blessed us and brought us to this point. That song, Come Thou Fount, was it the verse we sang that, Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Was that the one we sang? You know what that's like? Hither by thy help I'm come. God has brought us to this point. That Ebenezer is a monument. They laid stones up to make a monument that said God brought us this far. Amen. And when we look back, we ought to realize God has blessed us and brought us this far. Amen. Often we're too busy. We're just too busy living in this present time to notice the blessings that are behind us, the goodness of God in our past. Amen. So first of all, by reviewing our past. Second of all, by resolving our present. Reviewing your past, resolving your present. Look at verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You know, Paul's talking here about a goal in his life, something he's aiming for. He said, I want to know more about my Lord. Amen. Paul would have probably said what we were singing this morning, deeper, deeper, Lord, I pray. Amen. Paul would have probably said what we sung tonight. I want to gain higher ground. I've got a goal in my life to know more about Jesus. Paul knew the Lord. He said that I may know him. He knew him, probably knew him better than most people knew him. But yet Paul said, I want to know him more. I want to be made conformable to his death. In other words, I want to be like my Lord right up to the end. Amen. Resolving your present. Reflecting on the past caused Paul to resolve some things about the present. He said in verse number 8, let's look back there again. He said in verse number 8, I do count. You see that? Let me find that. Yeah. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Verse number 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. So Paul said, I count all that as done, but my goal is that I may win Christ. That's his goal. That's his resolve. That's his dream. He is resolved that I may know him. Amen. Paul was resolute about his spiritual life. We don't use that word a lot. You may use it talking about your video screen, the resolution. The resolution is how bright that picture is, how clear that picture is. Well, if you're resolute, you're clear on some things. You're determined on some things. Amen. You are dogmatic about some things. I think we need to be. Amen. I looked it up, and the word resolute means to be admirably determined and intense. Admirably determined, not just bullheaded, not just stubborn, but admirably. Something to be admired, how strong your faith is, how consistent your belief is. Amen. Amen. And so he's talking about being resolute. Every Christian ought to be settled in their mind that they want to know more about the Lord. They ought to be settled in their mind they want to be more like Jesus. There's some people, they want to be more like the Kardashians. They want to keep up with them. Amen. Want to be more like Taylor Swift. Right? Maybe want to be more like some sports star, movie star, even religious star. I want to be more like John MacArthur. Maybe that's their... No, listen, don't set your goal for some man. You ought to want to be more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Amen. He ought to be our hero. That's right. Amen. Make up your mind. That's what he's talking about here. Make up your mind. Every Christian ought to be settled in their mind. They ought to be settled in their attitude that they're going to live for God, let come what may. Amen. They're not going to let anything deter them from their goal of going after Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. This whole thing. You'll hear this again and again as I go along, but it's resolved. Excuse me, resolved in the present. Set your heart on track and don't let anything deviate you from that. Amen. When I fell in love with my wife and I made a vow to my wife, I made up my mind then, I don't care how many women ask me to marry them, I ain't marrying none of them. She's the only woman I let beg me long enough to marry her. But I made a resolve. I made up my mind. I set my heart. I said, this is the love of my life and going to be my life. Right? That's how it ought to be with Christ. Amen. I mean, the world ought not have any attraction for us if we really love Jesus. Amen. Right? I don't care how bright the lights, I don't care how loud the music, I don't care how exciting the terms seem to be. Our heart ought to be set on Jesus and nothing else. Amen. That song Miss Jan Barker sings, and the young people sang it down there from Brother Brunson's church. Give me Jesus. You can have the world, but give me Jesus. That ought to be our heart's cry, our heart's song. So, reviewing the past, resolving your future or your present. Number three, by renewing your pledge. Here in verse 10 again, that same idea that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. That He said, that's my resolve, but He also said, that's my pledge. And I'm going to renew that. Listen, Paul made up his mind. Here's what I believe. On the road to Damascus, Paul's walking on that road to Damascus. You know what he was doing? He was going there to kill Christians. And he got arrested by the light from heaven. And he heard a voice. And that voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the next, he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And Paul made up his mind right there. Right there is where he made up his mind. When he said, what wilt thou have me do, Lord? Paul made up his mind, that's the Lord, that's who I'm serving. Right? If that's the Lord, that's who I'm serving. He made up his mind on the road to Damascus. Now here we find him in the book of Philippians. He's in jail. Times passed. Years have gone by. A lot of bridges are burned. Things that have happened and water over the, things have happened. And Paul, what's he doing? He said, I'm renewing my pledge. I still just want Jesus. I still just want Him. I want to know Him. Part of being resolved is to continue renewing your pledge. Amen. Amen. I mentioned about the situation with my wife. I not only told her I loved her when I married her, I tell her every day. At least once. Amen. Renewing your pledge. You say, well, I told the Lord I love Him 10 years ago. How about telling Him today? How about showing your affection to Him today? Don't allow your resolve to grow cold. Keep it warm in your heart. Amen. Make a promise to the Lord and keep your vows. Amen. Keep your vows. Think about the promise that you made, Lord. Most people, when they got saved, they made a promise to God. Lord, if you'd just save me, I'd live for you all the days of my life. Some kind of pledge like that most time was made. Don't forget it. You made a vow to the Lord. It's better not to make a vow than to make it and break it. Now, God don't save you based on you making a deal with him. Amen. Don't get to thinking that. But most people had a determination. Matter of fact, it looked to me like Paul had that determination. Lord, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. What do you want me to do, Lord? Amen. Immediately, he is ready to serve the Lord Jesus. Amen. So part of this renewing your pledge is surrendering your will. Because every now and then you're going to want to do something that he don't want you to do. Or he's going to want you to do something that you don't want to do. He's going to say, witness is that fellow. And you're going to say, him? Amen. He's going to have something put in your path that you may not want to do. Your will and his will may not be on the same page. You know what your job to do is to submit your will to his will. Put it on the same page. Amen. Seek to know God's will. Seek to know God's will. Surrender your will to him. When you know his will, obey it. Amen. Amen. Place yourself at his command, whatever you want, Lord. Amen. I believe that prayer is a vital part of being resolute. I believe praying people have a better chance of keeping their vows than people that don't pray. So ask God to go with you and help you surrender your will. Like that man did in the scripture I read this morning. Actually, in Mark's account, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's a prayer. I want to do your will, Lord. Help me want to do your will, Lord. Amen. I'm willing to do your will, Lord. Help me to be willing to do your will, Lord. Amen. Renewing your pledge. Number four, by rising to your premium. Look at verse 12 through 14. By rising to your premium, your best. I could have said prime. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Paul said, I got a goal to be perfect. I ain't there yet, but that's my goal. But I follow after. I'm chasing after. I want to arrive. I want to be perfect. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to be looking at those three verses for the next three points here. This one, by rising to your premium. He said there in verse number 14, I press toward the mark. So here's my admonishment to you. Press toward the mark. Sometimes it means going upstream. Sometimes it means going against the wind. Sometimes it means going against the grain. Almost always it means going against the crowd. Popular opinion means a lot in this world today. We're living in a day of cancel culture. I'm just going to tell you, if I expect one of these days to be canceled, and it doesn't bother me. If I'm in the will of God, they canceled John the Baptist, didn't they? Jesus said, there ain't a man born a woman greater than him. Amen. But we're living in a day when people, if they don't like me, if they don't put a thumbs up to my tweet, do you put thumbs up to tweets? Anybody that tweets to y'all, I don't know. Is there any tweeters in here? If they don't like my post, if they don't applaud what I'm doing, then I just can't live. We're in a day of snowflakes. You know, you hear that term. We are living in a day of snowflakes. If you don't affirm everything they're doing, they may just commit suicide. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm pressing towards mark. If I'm going against the grain, I'm going harder against the grain. If I'm going against the wind, I'm going harder against the wind. If I got to swim upstream, I'm swimming harder upstream. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm determined I'm not going to let anything set me back or keep me back. Rising to your premium. By the way, that's how you build muscle. You don't build muscle by laying weights down. You build muscle by picking them up. You don't build muscle by shirking responsibility. You build muscle by doing your responsibility. You build integrity. You build character. Not by shirking responsibility, but by picking it up and doing it. Amen. Press toward the mark. In other words, set a goal. Aim to win. You ever played a game with people that they didn't care if they won or lost? I know what everybody says. We're not here to win. We're here to play and have fun. Nope. If I'm in the game, I'm there to win. What's the use of playing? Why even keep score? Really? I used to tell my kids, there, we'd go, sometimes when there's teenagers especially, we'd go go-kart riding. I'd say to them, we'd get there, I'd say, now listen kids, I've told this before, but I'd say, listen kids, we're all here to have fun, and I'm here to win. Don't try to keep me, I'll run you off the track. I'm going to get, I'm here to win. But my point is this, aim to win. Don't just say, well, I'm in this thing and it really don't matter. No, it does matter. Paul called this thing a race. Did you know if you're in the race, it means you're running. Amen. You're not coasting. You're not drifting. You're running. Amen. Paul called this thing a fight. You ever been in a fight and didn't care whether you won or not? No. You care whether you win or not. You want to win. Amen. Right. Paul says that's what this is. So he's saying set your goal. Press toward a mark. Set a mark. Set a goal. Aim to win. I put it to come to play. Amen. I don't mean like Christianity's a game. But there's a lot of Christians, it looks to me like they're satisfied standing on the sidelines rather than being involved in the game, if I could use that analogy. They're satisfied sitting on the bench or even in the bleachers, not down on the field where the action's going on. We need some Christians that's in the game. Amen. Some Christians that's active in what is going on. God wants us to work at winning at life. Amen. Here's another text that goes along with that. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. It goes with what I said. They're all running. And the ones that are running with all they got. Yet one, or but one, receiveth the prize. There can only be one winner, but they all want to try to win. That's what he's saying. Amen. And then this is the admonition at the end of that sentence. So run that you might or may obtain. Here's what we see in that verse. God doesn't want his children coasting. He wants us running all. Amen. Run this race that's set before us with patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Run it. Don't walk. Run. Amen. He wants us running. In other words, he wants us to be all in. Run all. All in this living for Jesus Christ. Amen. I told you about years ago when we started getting some standards and God started dealing with us about some things, found out some things. We found out some things our family didn't know about. And we started adapting and changing. And one of my family members, I'll not say who it is on the air. One of my family members said this. She said, oh, so y'all wanting to be a super Christian. I said, I didn't know there was such a thing, but if there is, I want the cape. I don't guess there is such a thing as a super Christian, but we ought to try to be a super Christian. Amen. That's right. Do our all for the glory of God. Amen. By the way, we need some dads that are all in. We need some moms that are all in. We need some young people that are all in. We need some grandparents that are all in. Here's what's the tendency sometimes. Serve God when the children are little. Do something for God. But then coast. When the kids get a little bigger. Or maybe they're out of the house. It's time for us to, you know, just let old age creep up on us. It's time for us to find a rocking chair and just retire. I don't believe that's right. I believe we're supposed to be running all in. I know you may not be able to do as much, and there's no shame for not doing as much when you can't do as much. But you ought to do what you can. That's what he's saying in this text. I believe that's right. Well, let me say this about this thing, is about rising to our premium. Don't take no as an option. I'm going to live for Jesus. And no's not an option. Amen. Have a determination to serve God with all your heart. Amen. There will be difficulties ahead. Paul said you're going to have to press against them. There will be difficulties. There will be problems. We'll have new tasks that comes that are new challenges. And by the way, you ought to face it like it's a challenge. It's a mountain to be climbed. Right? It's a river to be crossed. It's a job to learn. It's something to do to advance for the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Don't just look at it as a place to turn around and go back. No, do your best for Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's a motivational speech, and that's right. Amen. All right. I believe we ought to do our best. By the way, Jesus deserves our best. He deserves our best. Number five, retreat is never in the program. Verse number 14, I press toward the mark. Again, you can't get backwards out of that. He's going forwards. Amen. I remember hearing them tell about a little boy that was a bugle boy in the Civil War. I believe it's Civil, might have been Revolution, but I believe it's Civil War. They used bugles in both of them, bugle boys, particularly in the Civil War, but I believe that's what it was. This little boy was blowing the bugle, and he'd blow charge. And so they got in a predicament, and the general said to the bugle boy, he said, blow retreat. And the boy blew charge. He said, I said, blow retreat. And the boy blew charge. And finally he said, I said, blow retreat. And the boy said, I don't know how to play that one. That's the fellow I want on my team. Amen. Do you know somebody can be a lot bigger and badder than you, but if you don't give up, they may get tired of fooling with you. Amen. Amen. Here, my point is, don't give up on serving the Lord Jesus. Don't let, here's a scriptural term. Don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Don't let the winds of the world blow you around. Put your feet down firm and stand up strong on the word of God. Amen. Amen. So never retreat. Don't go back. Demas went backwards. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'm going to tell you what happens. If you go back on God, there ain't but one place to go back to. And that's the world. I don't believe you can lose your salvation if you're really saved. You can lose your testimony. You can lose rewards. You can lose opportunities. Don't go back to the world. Matter of fact, don't even turn in the direction of the world. Keep your face and eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Satan's going to try to get us to back up on things. By the way, if Satan does get us to back up on things, then he advances. Here's what happens in the world today. We was talking a little bit about this in the prayer room. It was not exactly like this, but this connotation. What happens in churches today is churches give in on one point of doctrine. I mentioned to them, I think Joshua may have mentioned it last Wednesday night when he preached, Sunday night when he preached, that a political commentator made the statement to the Southern Baptists. He warned the Southern Baptists that every single denomination that today ordains sodomites and affirms sodomites started by ordaining women into the ministry. Every single one of them that went down that road, that's where they're at today. Every single one of them. What happens? Well, you give in. You back up on one point. You know what the devil does? He advances. And he pushes you back again. If you back up again, he advances again. The Bible says give no room to the devil. Don't give him an inch. Don't give any room to him. You keep on standing your ground. By the way, Ephesians, I believe we ought to be trying to gain ground, but if you can't gain ground, by all means, don't lose ground. Ephesians says stand. Stand. Even if you can't go forward, stand. Don't go backwards. Amen. That's the point. Stand. your ground. You remember the man in the book of Judges that stood in that ground of lentils? Fought for that hill of beans? Yeah, I preached a message a few times on, if it ain't worth fighting for, it ain't worth a hill of beans. From that text. He fought over something most people wouldn't care a bit about. Matter of fact, looked like everybody else had gave up on it, but he stood his ground on his own, and God called him a hero. Amen. God called him a hero. That's right. Well, I said, don't go back. And if you do go back, Satan advances. Let me give this, I guess, this little caveat. If you have gone back on some things, repent of it. Ask God to forgive you and take a stand for what's right. Amen. Don't make an excuse for it. You may think you've got an excuse for why you don't do things. I said, look in Judges chapter number 1. Go all the way back to the Old Testament. Judges chapter 1. I'll show you a couple of verses of scripture here. God told Israel to conquer that land. They didn't do a very good job of it. They conquered some, and they was proud of what they conquered, and we're proud of them for what they conquered, but they didn't conquer near all God told them to conquer. But they had an excuse. Chapter 1, verse 19. If you're there in chapter 1, look at verse 19. And the Lord, I still hear pages, I'll give you a minute. Judges chapter 1, verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Now look at these. Let's read again. The Lord, there's one person, was with Judah. That's a tribe of people, but we'll count it as one person. And he, is that the Lord drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out? No, the Lord wouldn't have had any problem driving them out. Iron chariots didn't mean anything to the Lord. But Judah couldn't drive them out, even though the Lord was with him. Judah couldn't drive them out because, he said, they had chariots of iron. Look back at verse 2 of chapter 1. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Now, here we go. God says, I want Judah to go. Matter of fact, you read that text. God says, they ask, who's to go first? God says, I want Judah to go first. Instead of Judah going, Judah said, I want some help. Instead of Judah accepting God as their help, he said, I want Simeon to go with me. And Simeon went with him, but they didn't conquer it all. And when it came down to excusing why they didn't conquer it all, they said, well, they had chariots with iron wheels, iron chariots. From what I've read in history, they said those chariots had swords on them, or like scythes or scythes on those wheels that would, as they rolled through, they would cut people's feet out from under them. They'd cut the horses' legs out from under them. As they would ride through, they would just slaughter everything they'd just ride over. That's pretty intimidating. But that didn't stop God. God told them, listen, God didn't say, I will give it to you. He said, I have. I believe there's a lot of promises we have from God. There's a lot of blessings we have from God that we never obtain because we never put faith in what God said. We let the devil howl and we say, I can't do it. Right? We let something arise and we back down when God said, I've given you that city, or I've given you that land. I've given you that promise. Retreat's never in the program. Don't make excuses for it. In reality, Judah had no excuse and we do neither. Amen. We don't have an excuse. Matter of fact, you say, well, I don't know. I can't do much. Here's what Philippians 4:13 says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen. That's what he's talking about. We don't have an excuse for backing up. Here's my last point. All right, number six. It's in Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize. That word, the prize. Here's my sixth point. Rewards are promised. Amen. Amen. You can face the future confidently because we know out in the future there's rewards promised to the child of God. Amen. Paul looked at having the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior as being enough. That's enough of a reward. If I don't get anything else, this is a great reward, knowing Christ. But he said there's more to it. There's rewards waiting on the other side. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. You know it very well. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Paul said, there's a reward waiting for me, and there's a reward waiting for you if you're faithful to the end. Amen. He talked about the prize. Get in the prize. We sang that song, and I didn't intend on it, wasn't thinking about it when I asked you to sing that last song that we sang. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. All the struggles will seem as nothing when we see him. Can I tell you, not only will the struggles flee away, but the excuses will too. Amen. So for my conclusion today, I want to say to you, set a goal to live for God. Be resolved to live for him. And you can face the future confidently. Because, listen, I don't know who's going to win the election. I don't know when the Antichrist is coming, but I know who's on the throne. And he'll be on the throne even when the Antichrist is placing himself, showing himself that he is God, but he's not God. Amen. Our Lord will still be on his throne, and we can be rejoicing with him if we'll live for him in these days. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song.